The first scripture reading today is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The second reading is Genesis book 3, verses 8 through 15. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Thus ends the readings.
How many of you were raised by a scary person? You know, somebody who had that look, or the sound of their voice could just kind of chill your blood and make you want to hide in your room. My dad had a phrase and a look. "Or else" was the phrase, as in, clean your room or else. Don't miss curfew or else. Don't sass back or else. And his eyes would bug out of his head. So it was with him kind of a combination of the look and the voice and the phrase. Matter of fact, after he died, I dreamt one night that he looked at me like that, and it woke me from a sound sleep. I never really wanted to find out what "or else" was. His look was bad enough. But there were times when I did mess up, and I did find out what "or else" meant. It was always grounding. He'd ground me. No TV, no friends, no going anywhere, no talking on the phone, no getting a phone call. Pretty much, it was solitary confinement. And I believe I hold the world's record for being grounded. 109 days. That's a long, long time. And I, you know, the thing is, I don't even remember what the crime was that I got grounded that tremendous amount of time for. And by the time it was over, I don't think my dad remembered either. When I look back, I realize that I probably did deserve that punishment. I remember being kind of a snotty little kid. I was a handful as a teenager. But I also deserve the eventual forgiveness that my father gave to me. After all, I believe my dad did love me, in spite of his scary look, his harsh words, and his voice that could chill my blood. But my dad wasn't one to say to me, "I love you." He didn't. But if I can look back on those times when my dad was punishing me, without the "poor me, oh, my dad is so mean" kind of baggage clouding my heart, I can see that my dad did love me. The psalm that was read today speaks of a God who loves with an unfailing love. In verse 4, we heard, "With you there is forgiveness." This is a song that tells us the writer has come to know God as a God who forgives. It says, "If you kept a record of my sins, I would not be able to stand." How many of us would be able to stand up under the weight of all of our transgressions and screw-ups and mean things that we've done at some point in time? All of the hurts that we've brought into the world, if somebody unrolled that list in front of me, I'd probably want to sink to the ground. I know I would wilt just from the sheer enormity of my wrongdoings. But the psalmist speaks of love. In the face of that long list, it's going to be met by a God who loves us. So I want to look at today's Genesis story in the garden with that same thought in our head, that no matter how long that list was that those naked people hiding in the bushes had, it was met with love. God called them. And I wonder, though, there's two ways we can read that. We can read that part where God is looking for them as, "Where are you?" Or we can hear it with, "Where are you?" Big difference. As a little kid, if my dad said, "Where are you?" I knew that I was in trouble. But if he said, "Where are you?" I knew that there was hope, there was love waiting when he said that. The people shook with fear in our story, but maybe they just weren't hearing the words very well either. From a daily devotional by Reverend Matt Fitzgerald, he talks about this story, and this is what got me thinking. He says, "Is there anger in God's voice? The people shook with fear." But maybe God's curiosity about where the people are, well, they're afraid it'll turn to frustration and then to rage. And with a single word, all of the beautiful paradise of Eden will be raised, and it will expose them cowering in their nakedness. Maybe God can choose to do this, and maybe God chooses not to. There's a feeling of power in the reserve, power that can drive through to the bone. Like the shiver you might sense when you pick up an axe. And there's power and potential for great danger. You can strike, or you can choose not to. But you can still feel the possibility of what's in that axe when you hold that handle. Does God feel it when he's standing there calling? When she's looking for her children? Is the resonance of omitted rage simply power restrained? Or perhaps God doesn't have power in the way our crude minds would think of it. Perhaps what God has is a surplus of love. A superabundance of love that makes God suffer anxiously seeking her creatures. So we may feel that we've messed up. Like I knew I messed up a lot as a kid. When I defied my father's many rules, the humans in the garden story have broken one rule. They messed up. So they were afraid that the God who had walked with them every day in the cool of the evening would respond with anger and unfair punishment. But the psalmist who has come to know unending love in the face of that long list says no. The response is not anger, it's love. Indeed, the humans are forced to leave the garden. That's part of our story. But they don't die out there, away from the garden. So evidently, they're provided for well enough that they continue on. They have a family. But that's another sermon. We don't have that much time. But God did provide for them. So again, we hear from the psalm, O Israel, people who wrestle with God, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with God is full redemption. Full restoration, not partial, not teeny little snippets, but full redemption. Have you ever lost a child in a park? Anger isn't your first concern. Vengeance isn't what you're after. May we learn to pray when we mess up. Here I am, God, right here. Come and get me. Amen.